Wessex LMCs, supporting you and your practice.
Hi, and welcome to another Wessex LMCs podcast. With me, Zoe Tobin, nurse supervisor here at Wessex. And I'm kindly joined today by Angie Hack, who is Assistant Director of Nursing Programmes for Primary Care for the Queen's Nursing Institute. Hi, Angie. Thank you for joining me today.
Good afternoon, Zoe. Thank you for inviting me.
And we're going to have a chat about the essential and important role of the practice nurse. So if I just hand over to you first, Angie, just to, if you want to give a brief introduction about yourself and maybe a bit about the QNI, that would be
okay.
Great.
Thank you very much. Well, so hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to me. I've got a background of 47 years in nursing, and I've worked from the very bottom as a healthcare assistant, or shall we say very top, as a healthcare auxiliary nurse, right up to my current role. So that's a wealth of experience there. My background is in district nursing, and I did that for about 14, 15 years. And then I was a course director at London South Bank University for the General Practice Nurse Programme, where my nurses came out with a postgraduate diploma in general practice nursing, which I love. And then I was asked to come to the Queen's Nursing Institute to lead on the General Practice Nurse 10-point plan and commissioned work for NHS England. And then I was also asked to, for 2 days a week, support nurses new to general practice nursing undertaking the General Practice Nurse Fellowship. And I love every minute of my work that I undertake. In terms of the Queen's Nursing Institute, we're the oldest nursing charity in the world. We evolved from 1887 and funded to train district nurses initially. And we provide support and leadership support, innovation projects. We write standards for all community nursing, including primary care. So we have lots of resources, which I'll go through as we go through our session. Thank you.
That's great, Angie, and such a wealth of knowledge, and that's why you're here today. So thank you for joining us. So just to talk about the role, so if there's obviously going into the practice nurse role, and if there are people, you know, there's nurses out there considering it and it's appealing to them, but they worry about what qualifications they might need to go into that role. Okay. Would you be able to give a little sort of brief overview of that?
Absolutely. So there's lots of mixed myths about what you should do to become a general practice nurse. And it used to be many years ago that you had to have lots of experience to come out and work in a general practice. But that's no longer applies. Any nurse can apply who's a registered nurse to become a general practice nurse. The opportunities are varied across, particularly across England, in terms of some areas require you to undertake a course at the same time as applying for a job. Some practices will employ you and then support you on a general practice nurse program. And the other option is that some nurses undertake the general practice nurse fellowship, which did offer a 2-year pathway of support and education, particularly with Bournemouth University. So you don't need experience. Experience is helpful, particularly if you've worked in secondary care. But because of the support that's available now and the training for general practice nurses, this applies to that individual nurse at that time, what their needs are. So you have support within the practice, but you'd also access in-house training as well as educational training.
That's great. Yeah, I think from my own personal journey into practice nursing many years ago, it was different back then, like you said. There was that suggestion that you needed to have that background experience, and I actually went on to the university program, and massive support you know, going into a role that's very, very different from what you've ever done before. So that's great. So in terms of educational pathways, if nurses are seeking that career in general practice nursing, what kind of pathways are out there? I know you've mentioned some of them already.
So some universities offer, so what you generally do is you apply to a university that undertakes a general practice nurse programme. Some of those programmes are a module. So, for example, at Bournemouth University, it's a 40-credit module, and it's foundations in general practice nursing. And then if that nurse is, the current nurses who are new to general practice under the general practice nurse fellowship are also offered an additional 20 credit module that might be a long-term conditions module or minor illness or pediatric illnesses, and then they can come out, exit the university with the fellowship with a 60 credits at level 7, and they get awarded a postgraduate certificate, which is fantastic. Other universities just offer the module in general practice nursing. The programme I used to run at London South Bank University as an academic, I used to run a postgraduate diploma, and a lot of my colleagues run those programmes where you do 6 modules related to general practice nursing. And some of those programmes also offer nurse prescribing, which is fantastic. The other offer is a specialist practice qualification, and quite a few of the universities run these across England, and that's where you undertake, it's usually a 52-week course. Some of those courses, they are mainly level 7 now, master's level, and nurse prescribing is integrated in those programmes, and often that university might get you to do a foundations general practice nurse program first, and then you go into the specialist practice qualification, which is regulated by the NMC. So you have a recordable qualification after that, which would be lovely if all general practice nursing programs ran like that. That'd be fantastic. And it really equips you to prepare you for the role in this very, very unique environment. General practice is a huge, steep learning curve, as you found out, Zoe, when you went into general practice. And I think you can't explain it until you've actually lived it. But it's an amazing opportunity to learn a brand new skill set. Your role is quite different. You're a true autonomous practitioner within general practice. So it's a fantastic, rewarding opportunity. The other pathways are integrate. Education pathways also integrate with advanced nurse practitioners as well. So some of them give you the opportunity to move into advanced nurse practitioner role as well, undertake the training there. So there's a variety right across England for an opportunity. So you really need, if you are interested, that you would need to speak to your nearest university. As part of the development of the General Practice Nurse 10-point plan, I developed a website called the General Practice Nurse Education Network, and it's free to access for anybody. If you just type in GPNEN, it comes up first, I believe, on Google. And this is where we've developed, and with Wessex, developed a flowchart for nurses who are interested in a career in general practice nursing, where they can access what to do, what pathway to follow. But I've also got on there the universities that are, offer the general practice nurse programmes, whichever of one of those options I've given you. And all you have to do is click on their icon and it takes you straight to their programme, so you don't have to trawl through those university courses. It's much easier. So I'd like to think I've made that a bit easier for everybody.
It sounds so helpful, Angie. It does. And we can obviously share those resources when we send out the podcast. So the links
Absolutely.
In that. And I couldn't agree more with you, this going into primary care, regardless of your previous background in nursing, or if you're new to nursing, it certainly is almost like a culture shock. It's different. It's very different. And when I went to did my university course, must be about 13 years ago, actually, I did have the option of doing the 60 credit outcome, but it didn't cover everything that the course, because it's obviously evolved over time, and I had to do things like my immunization and my smear training completely separate from that course. So
right.
It's moved on, hasn't it?
And absolutely,
it's got to such a good level now that it covers pretty much everything that you need to fulfill that role.
Yes, it's a fast and furious route into general practice, but I mean, there's so much to learn. As we say, it's a very unique role and environment, but it's huge, and it is, I just want to point out, it's the only nursing discipline that supports people throughout the lifespan, and all the nursing roles within each section of a lifespan. But it's general practice nurses are the only discipline that support, that's it, it's an asset. It's an asset that we have on the QNI, Queen's Nursing Institute website. And within that, it demonstrates that general practice nurse is the only true role, consistent role, from preconception right up to end of life. So it's a huge role, and it takes many, many years to develop. So, but at the very least, the programs that are offered now prepare you for that. You know, they give you the complete foundations to that role, and thereafter you develop. So there's fantastic opportunities, which you might not get in other areas. So
absolutely. And I'm so glad you actually mentioned that, because when you're in it, you do not think, oh my goodness, I am looking at the, you know, somebody across the whole age range. And going back when I first started doing baby immunizations, being an adult nurse but through registration, it was very daunting. You know, because especially when you've never had to do anything like that, and it felt very prepared by the training that I had, and had really good in-house support from a sort of clinical mentor. But it was that adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking after, like you say, across the whole age range.
Absolutely.
Which, again, shows how great and skilled that role actually is.
Absolutely.
So in terms of, if you've got your trainee general practice nurses, and they're on the right qualifications, what other support is available to them?
So in within the practice, you should have received some sort of orientation and induction program to ease you into that new role. And in that, usually a nurse is allocated, and that's usually someone who should be experienced and would be a practice assessor, who would be able to then support you if you undertake any of the general practice nurse programs at the university, as I say, and so that they can assess you in practice, also help develop you and identify your learning needs with you. With it also, your peers are really, really, really influential. And a lot of the nurses I support, there's some cases, four of them who have all undertaken the general practice nurse fellowship, all at different times, and the general practice nurse foundations program. So they're at different stages, but they've all been immensely supportive of each other, because they've lived that, like you, Zoe, have experienced that. And you've never forgotten the scary aspect of going into this new field of practice, but also having that understanding of what that journey, that very steep learning curve, feels like. And I think, out of everything, I think the peer support is really, really important. So don't underestimate that. Also, if you do undertake a course, your course director would be supporting you in terms of your academic work, but also helping you to contextualise the knowledge and understanding, the underpinning theory of what you're learning and applying that to practice. So they're there to help you do that. And then obviously in practice, your practice assessor will be supporting you also to do that. Don't forget the old librarians, please, at the university, because they're really important in terms of being able to support you with any academic work you undertake. And people forget what that library looks like, what those what that library has in behind the doors, and they're called books and journals. And I do encourage people to utilize librarians, and I know a lot of stuff's online now, but the librarians have got a wealth of understanding of searching for information, and they will help you get something much quicker than if you're someone who struggles with searching. And I struggle with searching sometimes, believe it or not, and I just think it's really important to utilize the resources that are available there. And obviously the other really important thing is, if you do identify that you have any deficit in terms of difficulty with writing academically, writing at all, or reading, or any issues there at all, is to go and be assessed within the university. They will support you and put things in place to make life a lot easier for you. If you do have concerns, and it doesn't matter if you come out the other side and there isn't any concerns, that's fine. But if you have, you know, as academics, we can make life a lot easier for you and get you to where you need to be. Doesn't mean to say we're going to turn you away because you aren't able to write at an academic level.
That's really sort of reassuring, Angie, because that could be the stumbling block that some people would stop them from,
absolutely,
you know, trying to persevere that kind of career. And actually, like you said, I think most of us can be practical hands-on nurses can relate to not being the best with technology and all the rest of it. I'm glad you mentioned as well practice assessors. So that role in practice, because that's a role that I have. And I think now it's realizing as well that we're moving away from the word mentor, aren't we, in practice? And we've got your supervisor, practice supervisors, and your practice assessor, which the training for that you can actually access, can't you, for free as well?
E-learning for health, offer that. So there are lots of different options. So Bournemouth University offer a day, mm-hmm. You can undertake it there. But it's really important that you do undertake the practice supervisor and practice assessor training. The newly qualified nurses, most are coming out now being practice supervisor ready, mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. So, you can't underestimate the importance of a good practice assessor. The training, it needs to be robust. So the e-learning for health was set up through Health Education England, and so it's a national standard of practice assessment, and obviously that links with the Nursing and Midwifery Council SSSA supervision and assessment of nurses. So it's really important to undertake that, and I encourage everybody to undertake that training. And if they haven't already, you know, do the practice supervisor first, and then you have to wait a while and then do the practice assessor. But it's a very, very good skill set to have under your belt.
Absolutely. I think I did my, because obviously I spoke to my local training hub and found out where was the best place to access it. And I think I did an online, is it Angela Ruskin's University, yeah, course? Where they give you, obviously, it's all free. They give you the workbook that's in your start, like you said, with the practice supervisor training, then you go on to do the assessor. And without doing that training as an assessor, understanding, particularly if you have student nurses in practice, which would be lovely if we had more of those, and potential trained nurse associates you might support in practice and other colleagues. Without doing that training, understanding all of how, like, the online pads that they use and how they're assessed and their outcomes, it really would be quite challenging doing that without having that training.
Absolutely. And more importantly, I think, Zoe, is that you would be, when you're working so closely with a student nurse or a trainee general practice nurse, that you might identify some issues in terms of record keeping or general writing or whatever, or that they're struggling with the IT, and it's having that underpinning knowledge of what to look out for in order to support that person. And so many people have come through, they've gone through life, and then it's not until I've said, go, if you have any indication that you do struggle, then go and be assessed. And a lot of the time it's identified in practice, but no one really knew before what process to for them to guide those people to go undertake. So it's easier for me as an academic because we do that automatically at the university. But absolutely, you're key in practice to observing that person's learning needs. And that, I think that's imperative that you understand that, but also that the things are put in place to support that person in practice. And we have a duty of care to do that in practice as well as at the university. So thank you for promoting that. That's really important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because like you rightly said there, as a practice assessor, part of that role is to be the advocate, the in-between to support the student and liaise with the educational institute. So you're there to really support them.
Absolutely.
No, that's great. So what other resources are there available to general practice nurses in terms of training, any sort of resources they can access online?
There's lots, Zoe. So not that I'm biased at all, but as I work for the Queen's Nursing Institute, we are more often commissioned to write standards. So we write national standards. We write those national standards with our colleagues like yourself, people in practice who know what that looks like. So at the Queen's Nursing Institute, so part of my role was writing standards for nurses new to general practice nursing. So these are national standards that following the 10-point plan, general practice nurse 10-point plan. So all our resources at the Queen's Nursing Institute are all free. So all you have to do is type in the resources in our search button what you would like to access. So the very first thing I would say is look at the standards. What is expected of you as a nurse new to general practice nursing? And that's a national standard. Okay. Secondly, there's a really important document that NHS England commissioned us to also write, and that's called the induction template. And every nurse new to general practice should be, you can download it yourselves, but you should be using this. It's a really, really good tool in terms of giving you an overview of what's expected of you in practice to make sure you have a period of orientation, a period of induction, preceptorship. And I think preceptorship is really, really important, particularly for those nurses who are newly qualified coming straight into general practice. That's essential, an absolute essential, that you have a period of agreed preceptorship. And that, that should be planned from the outset before you even arrive at the practice. It's really, I believe that is best practice, because we want to keep you. We want to encourage you to stay in general practice. And I think if you're supported, you're more likely to enjoy your journey. But in this induction template also, we get you to reflect on who you are. We get you to do a SWOT analysis. So for those of you who studied a long time ago might have done that. So that's where that model of looking at your strengths, your weaknesses. I don't like that word. I've changed it to limitations because it's a new environment. You've never been exposed to that. But opportunities and threats. And it's always good practice to do a SWOT analysis in any new role, because it's about looking at a kind of baseline of where you're at, what you've brought with you. And what we are terrible at doing as nurses is writing about our strengths. We never articulate sufficiently what we bring with us and what we do and what we can do. People, we it's our fault because we've never articulated. We've always, oh, I'm just a practice nurse, or I'm just a nurse. That's not right. We've got so much behind us, degrees, etc. We've got a huge skill set. We can apply ourselves to any situation and respond in any situation. So we need to think about that. So in that induction template, it's really good for you to do that from the beginning. And then you've got something as a baseline for later on for negotiating pay, terms and conditions, but also because then you can do another one when you've completed a course or whatever to demonstrate how or evidence how you've developed and what you've brought to the practice.
That's great. That's such a useful tool.
Sorry, do you want me to carry on with more resources?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking about that tool because I've done that myself, the SWOT analysis, and it also makes, when you go back and assess it later on down the line, you realise how much sort of unconscious incompetence that you have that you didn't realize until you start doing something. Oh, no. I don't know that either. So no. It's just really good.
It's a good opportunity to just reflect on where you're at that time, and also to then action plan what is a priority at that time. Mm-hmm. So if you're not undertaking an academic program at that point, you need to negotiate with your practice assessor in practice as to what is a priority for you at that time and for your learning and how you're going to achieve that. So definitely that document is a must. We've also got a transition to general practice nursing online tool on the same general practice nurse web page that we have on the Q&I website, and I'll be giving you the links to that, Zoe, so you can share that with your listeners. I would recommend that you join the Royal College of Nursing General Practice Nurse Forum. There is so much traffic on there in terms of people, like you say, Zoe, you sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and you suddenly think, oh, I've never done that before. And people put on those questions out nationally, and it's fantastic. And that's why I refer back to what I say about peer support, how important that is, because you're all living the same existence at that time, and I think you're very cognizant of how it feels. So it's good to have you know, your peer support within that. So I'd recommend joining the RCN General Practice Nurse Forum. Obviously, you've got your journals, the Journal of Community Nursing, Journal of General Practice Nursing. Nursing in Practice is very, very articulate in terms of raising the profile of general practice nursing at this time. And you can sign up for those. They're really, really good. And they're led by nurses. And that's why, again, I go on to about your peers. Your peers are having a voice, and we need to articulate your voice. And then there's me at the Q&I. So if you do have any queries or want to become a general practice nurse and you can't make head nor tail of the guidance I suggested on the General Practice Nurse Education Network, which I shall also give you the link for, we've got lots of resources on there. But I'm going to direct you to that because I also get a lot of the students or the nurses, the GPNs who come into new to general practice, some with experience, some newly qualified, and I get them to do blogs. And I think that's really helpful for them to explain how what their journey has been like, articulate where they've got to and what they're doing now, but also to reassure you and reaffirm you're not alone. If you're feeling a bit nervous or whatever about if you're new to general practice, have a look at those blogs, and I encourage everyone to do one. And maybe Zoe, you might do one as well.
Please. That's fantastic. Because, like you say, it's sharing that common ground, and you find that actually what you think could be is just you feeling that way, or just you have that question, or you feel. It's usually something that the same that everybody else is feeling, and you know, and the questions are never a silly question because actually everyone's just waiting for someone to ask it. They're like, thank goodness it's not just me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's great support networks there. Thank you, Angie. So you've mentioned there, obviously, in terms of you're happy to be contacted, obviously you want to discuss any of the things we've brought up today.
Absolutely. And
potentially we could share your contact as well when we put this out.
Yes.
Perfect. And is there, what other sort of contacts in Wessex are there in terms of if anyone wants to discuss their sort of career pathway further?
So the first place to go to is your local training hub, which leads on education. They fund the education for general practice nursing, so you really want to make friends with those leads in the training hub, and they can outline what opportunities there are, because some training hubs link with other universities as well, not just the one university. So it's really good to look at their website in the first instance. And I'd recommend everybody look at the Wessex LMC website, which I think is amazing. Very, very clear direction and very easy to navigate. So there's lots of information in there and lots of training opportunities. There is lots of training, free training opportunities also on the Training Hub website too. There's also your local university. So if you identify which university, if you decide you would like to do general practice nursing, particularly the foundations for general practice nursing, you would talk to the course lead at the university of your choice. And it's always a really good idea to have a discussion with them to see whether that's the appropriate place for you to attend. And also you have to look at going into your practice. So if you haven't already got a practice, employment within a practice, you need to go and explore those areas, those practices, and have a chat with them as well, because they may automatically link to your university. So it's always worth having a good discussion with them too. And of course, me. You can come to me at any time at the Queen's Nursing Institute, and I'll help you as best I can. I meant to say that I also chair the Association of Academic General Practice Nurse Educators, so which is how I've got those direct links to the general practice nurse programs across the UK, and for those who've given me their links and their logos for their universities. But the idea behind that, we meet four times a year, and they're people like me who was the course lead for the general practice nurse program. And when I started teaching it, there wasn't another me. I didn't know anyone else. I had to. So I hosted the inaugural meeting and it's the AAGPNE, Association of Academic General Practice Nurse Educators. And we come together four times a year to try and get some consistency of general practice nurse education, to try and raise the profile of general practice nursing, because we hide under a bushel all the time. We don't articulate our worth. And it's been a really good group in terms of sharing best practice, so that we get some good consistency, not only in education, but about best practice. And I've also invited now associate members. My colleague Lisa Clark is a super secretary, and she runs the specialist practice qualification in general practice nursing at Wolverhampton University. And Lisa's also co-chairs with me and does an amazing job. And we encourage associate members. So those are educators in practice. So when we talk about the practice supervisor, the next step would be practice educator. So you will undertake another a postgraduate certificate in education, for example. So you're an educator in the practice, and sometimes you might also be a link lecturer at the university as well. So there's lots of opportunity, but it means sharing our best practice and ensuring there's consistency in education for general practice nurses.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned there about, sort of direction that you could become an educator. What are the other different roles in general practice nursing? And
oh my goodness! Right. Well, if we start, for your previous podcast, you've got your healthcare assistants, and then you have your nursing associates, and then you have your newly qualified general practice nurses, and then you have experienced nurses as general practice nurses, and then Some people love being a general practice nurse. Some people have a desire to move on to an advanced nurse practitioner or advanced clinical practitioner. So those are the specific nursing roles. Within general practice now, we have the new additional roles reimbursement scheme, whereby the 17 new roles have come into general practice. And that includes care navigators, that includes more nursing associates. So there are lots and lots of different roles undertaking. Some of it is a little bit blurred lines in terms of who does what, but I think our ultimate goal is to protect the role of the general practice nurse, because nobody else does that role as good as a GPN, and we need more of you.
So that's fantastic. I think that's a good place to wind up the podcast, and that is the key message. It's a great role and we need more of you. So thank you so much for joining me today, Angie. That was so interesting, and I know it'd be really helpful for people out there. We'll share all the resources, as we said, and I'll also share the link to how people find their local training hubs as well, because we mentioned that as well. So thank you very much, Angie.
Oh, thank you very much, and please become a general practice nurse. It's the best place to be.
Absolutely. And thank you, and goodbye. That's it for now.
Wessex LMCs, supporting you and your practice.